Greetings. This is James Gellin with CBS Radio, and we're also on East City Stargate on YouTube. A lot of stuff going on right now. I'm sure we'll cover it most in the show, but I just want to give you all a heads up. We just went through a big cosmic ray storm. The planet is just shaking like crazy. There's earthquakes everywhere. I sent that out on our list. If you sign up for the eSETI news list, you know, you'll get all this latest information. A lot of things going on every level. The political arena is just going bat whatever crazy. and we all saw this coming. We knew it was coming. They told us this November everything was going to be hitting the fan, and it's going to be fast, very fast and furious, you know, to get my drift. But anyway, everything's going to come up. Everything's going to come out. People are going to see what's really happening. They're going to see behind all the nonsense the news is putting out, and it's all coming up. So my best advice to you is to throw your TV set out the window and get out in nature and get in touch with what's important, your own inner God connection. So on that note, we've got Eric Rains on our show, and on his bio, he says, humanity's been buried inside of its core, the potential for true universal consciousness, knowing as a mind-body-spirit being, we have long been stuck inside of the realms of the mind with knowledge of existence of body and spirit, but no true understanding of how to meld these awarenesses together in order to fully tap into natural human potential. Come join Eric as he takes us on a journey through the understandings outside of the mental plane, easily accessible to anyone as long as they have the ability to concentrate and breathe. Learn how to decode the language of your body, that your body speaks, and more importantly, learn how to speak it. Learn how to find the root causes of disease, dysfunction, and pain, and in the process, liberate ourselves from the core causes of these unwanted and, more importantly, unnatural maladies. So with any further ado, I'm going to bring Eric on the show. Eric, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, well, welcome back to the show. I know you've been doing all kinds of work lately. You've got a book in the works, and you've been teaching classes and a few other things. And I'm really curious, from your take, what do you see happening, you know, as far as the Earth, as far as the social, economic, and physical Earth change? It seems like everything's just speeded up and off the scale.
Oh, goodness. This is a huge, huge topic to cover right now, and I'll try to put some cliff notes into this as quickly as I can. What people call the waves of energy that are hitting the planet that are raising the frequency, they're not actually waves of energy. The energy is a constant. It's not changing. It's just that the fact that there's more light on the planet that's accessible. There's more people who are able to transmit these frequencies, and so there's more and more light that's actually activating inside of the human consciousness right now. And as this is happening, it's marching in lockstep with the awakening of the planetary consciousness. And what ends up happening is when you have this core consciousness that starts to expand itself out and explore itself and understand more, further and further out it goes, it knows more. There's more of an understanding of how things work, of the physics of reality and how to shift inside of it. And as this grows, what ends up happening is there's a huge bioelectric charge. It's like the soul ends up with, it's like there's more to it. There's more weight behind the soul, I guess you could say. And people are starting to snap into these spaces to where this bioelectric activation is no longer just inside of the brain. It's actively shining through the body, through multidimensionality and through the collective. And it's almost like it's powering the earth changes. At the same time, the earth is going through transformations that are cleaning up all kinds of old traumas and racial histories and collective wounds that are really some of the biggest issues that are keeping humanity inside of a really kind of a dog-eat-dog world right now. And as the frequencies start to rise and get stronger, it's almost like we've got a system that's made out of dried mud, and suddenly we have water that's starting to spring up inside of the mud. It's like the mud is actually creating the liquid flow, and it's deconstructing and destabilizing the whole entire platform. And as this platform of dense energy gets destabilized, we end up with pockets of light that start to break through, And there's only so much damage control that would happen. And we'd known for a while that as we got closer and closer to these moments, that it would get harder and harder for the damage control and the limiting of the information to really keep going on. And this is what we're starting to watch right now. Like, we all knew that, you know, things were corrupt. We all knew that there was some really crazy stuff going on the planet. But this is stuff that's actively in the collective consciousness now. This isn't fringe. This isn't conspiracy theory anymore. This is stuff that we can, you know, we can point to prosecutions. We can point to evidence. And we can start to say, like, hey, these are the things that everybody has been saying has been going on. If this has been going on, look at what they've been talking about over here. And it's a huge collective consciousness doorway that's opening right now, where the foundations of what we knew were true and immovable have suddenly shifted, and we're recognizing our concrete as sand. And inside of this space, it seems like it's really scary if you don't know what's going on, because, you know, it's chaos. There's a deconstructing of everything that is known here. But in fact, what it's doing is it's disattaching us from any anchors, from any heavy, dense spaces that force us into programs of religion, of thought, of emotion, of, you know, whatever it might be. And these programs, as we detach from these things and find ourselves pulling back into the source, back into the core, we can start to align with true north. That's what I call it. It's, you know, it's like your true sense. It's your ability to understand what source consciousness is. And as we align with that, suddenly we can connect into that light, and we can shine that here in the reality. And then the light gets even bigger. There's more of us doing it. And then there's more energy. It cleans out more, and we keep on shifting. So, you know, I don't really know the ins and outs of what's going on right now, but I do know in the macro, there is some absolutely massive energies that are moving through the planet and the collective on the awakening levels right now. And the next 2 months, I'm feeling an explosive potential for human evolutionary growth. And this isn't just in the consciousness levels, but I'm talking about, like, in the health levels, in the consciousness levels, as well as the energetic levels too. So I'm actually expecting quite a few energetic understandings to start waking up here in the next couple of months, and people who have never had any understanding of this to start really seeking it out.
Exactly. You know, I was looking at these waves. You know, they have these charts and show these massive waves coming in and hitting the planet, and the whole magnetosphere gets shaken, you know, and set behind it and has to rebuild itself. And I'm looking at the increase in earthquakes. I mean, there's been like something like 2,000 earthquakes this month. They're small, but they're kind of leaning towards something. And everybody I've talked to has said what you're talking about, has said the Earth itself is becoming more malleable. It's moving. It's growing. It's expanding. And then I looked up what cosmic rays do, and they create all kinds of DNA changes, and they make the mantle more malleable. More, it softens the mantle and it starts moving. It's not so locked in. You know, it's funny how it's all tied together, but people don't really see the big picture. They haven't connected all the dots yet. And I think it's so massive. I don't know if we can connect all the dots. Yeah, because it's, God. I mean, there's so many dimensions involved in this. I mean, I know for a fact there's at least 13 dimensions involved in this shift that's going on, and they're pressing their consciousness and energy, you know, universal laws coming in, the old draconian law, and all of its assets or creations are folding in on themselves, and those kingdoms are crumbling, and you know, just watching this unfold, it's just amazing. And I know most people, a lot of people that are enlightened are going, yeah, we knew this was coming. Can we just get it over? Can we just get on with this and step in, you know, step between the veils and step into this new world, you know, because a lot of people feel it's just taken too long.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, is we knew what was coming, but, like, we also, in order to get to that space, we have to release the density. We have to release those programs that are causing these draconian programs that, you know, it's not just draconian law. It's literally a draconian mindset that has infiltrated inside of a very benevolent, very loving, very gracious species, which is humankind. And when you really kind of limit a benevolent species to be stuck inside of those pathways, it's really, really easy to get back. But the thing is that we're not looking in the right space, you know, and a lot of the stuff that's happening right now is people are looking at, like, disclosure is the thing that's going to save us. And, you know, disclosure is definitely a symptom of the awakening of humanity right now, but that's not what's going to save us. Like, we have to actively save ourselves. And that's by going in and cleaning out this rot that is infesting humankind. That is the reason why we're quarantined to begin with. And as we go in and we start to really transmute, not fight, but transmute and show that full spectrum emotional level to a very limited spectrum of a negative agenda, that's never felt love, that's never felt joy, that's never felt compassion. You know, they don't know what these things are. And as we go in and actively find these densities inside of the human genome, inside of reality at large, inside of the atomic structure, and then transmute and cleanse these, not only do we see amazing results inside of the body with letting go of pain, of activating energetic abilities, and turning on and activating human DNA potential, but we're actively cleaning out through time and space the reason the planet is so heavy. And this is why there's so much light happening on the planet. We're starting to recognize we're over it and we're done with it. And we're not going to take these cycles with us anymore. And so we're letting them go.
Yeah, I'm all for that. Boy, it's been quite a journey. I know a lot of people that kind of, you know, major warriors right now that didn't fare so well in the last two shifts. And they were working really hard on behalf of humanity. And now they're paying a price for it. And I really hope these shifts and these changes, when they do come in, will totally reorganize that. And it does seem like, you know, the whole legal system is going to be revamped, going back to common law, which is more aligned with universal law, and the just the whole banking system. Everything from what I know, from the people I've talked to, I mean, it's happening as we speak. Big shifts are happening, you know, in the banking industry, and some banks have been taken over, and I can't go into it too much, but it's pretty crazy. But on every level, I'm saying that people are just so tired of being enslaved, you know, through dependency or whatever else has been going on through this extremely unfair, you know, monetary system we have operating and things like that. But it's blown my mind, because the information I'm getting, and I'm seeing it unfold right now, is they just said this November is just watch what happens this month. It's going to be a total, everything's going to hit the fan. Big changes happening.
Well, and it's not even just the banks. Like, you've got people who talk to you on your end. I've got people who come to me on my end, and I've got some clients in some very high levels at information companies like Google and stuff like that. And some of the stuff that these people are telling me, like the artificial intelligence programs that they're building, like, they are fundamentally against everything that is for humankind. And the people who are actively starting to make these things are recognizing this. And it's almost like there's a light turning on inside of these very, very archaic and artificially intelligence run systems of global control. And it's not just the banks. It's not just the political arena. It's not just the economic arena. It's everything right now, literally everything.
Well, yeah, the insiders, what I see is, you know, the whistleblowers are coming up through the systems, and they're the everyday people that are working inside of these systems, you know, the news agencies, everything else, that are just fed up with what's going on. They're fed up with the deceptions and the lies and what's really going on. And they, you know, they've got their phones in their pocket, and they're taping all these things, and they're starting to come out with all of it. And, you know, I don't know if people have seen it, if people have gone to Veritas, but this one woman, I can't remember her name. I think it was Amy something or Boucher. I'm not sure what her name was, but she just blew the whistle on Epstein. You know, she said, we had this information 3 years ago. We could have stopped this. And they said the Queen and everybody else, you know, came down and shut us down, said, no way, you know, you couldn't do this. And you think about that. If that went on 3 years ago, what else have they squashed? You know, what else have they stopped the investigative reporters?
Yeah, well, I was actually just watching that one just this morning, and if we look back to 3 years ago, that was right when the election was happening. And if we would have replaced the word Clinton with Trump, you know, it would have been all over the news. It would have been a huge thing. But during the elections, like the Clintons have so many connections around the world with all of these things that they said, no, this can't come out. We're in election season right now. And they shut it down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it wasn't just the palace. It was everybody inside of this. And then so you start looking at the people who are indicted for pedophilia in Disney right now. And then you look at how Disney actually owns ABC and how Little St. James, it was a Disney cruise island destination. You know, it all starts to make sense here. Like, these are very high level control systems that are starting to collapse right now. And we are going to watch an explosion of human consciousness once it gets over the nasty stuff, in ways that we've never experienced before. Like, we are literally going into a brand new level of humankind that has never, ever existed, ever.
I was reading something. I can't remember exactly. It was like a meme that somebody put out. And they said something about the evil and everything was always there. They said it was always there. It's only coming to the light. You know, it's, they're saying, you know, thing that's you know, nothing's changed. It's always been there. Only now it's all coming up just for you to see it, you know, to see what it is. And you know, it's pretty accurate. It's some of us have always seen it. You know, I always tell people, don't take your kids on those excursions. You know, they may not come back, but or some of those other places. But anyway, I've had mothers come to me and they have their kids. Yeah, I promised to take my kids on this little excursion. And I said, I want to try something else, you know. And, you know, it's funny. And they took their kids up here. They asked their kids, what do you want to do? Do you want to go to this place or do you want to go to East Eddy? And the kids said, we want to go to East Eddy, which was.
Why would they not?
Yeah, they're getting it. I mean, they get it. They want to see the ship. Yeah. They want to see the energy. They want to experience that stuff rather than all the fake, you know, the fake
and
stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, everything is so hollow and it's so fake. And there's like an illusion of such a beautiful world when it comes to like the Disney World and like all these different worlds, literal worlds that they create, that they expose our children to. And when we start to look at these types of things, we really recognize that what they're selling us is something that it gives us an emotion that lets us know magic is real, but it gives it to us in a way that it's only a kid thing. And that's why when you grow up, you no longer are accepting magic. It's no longer a real thing. And it's fake. It's hollow. You know, just like the guy in the costume down at the Disneyland, he's not Mickey Mouse. He's, you know, a guy in a costume. And they want to see the real thing. They want to see the real magic, and all of us do. That's what's really starting to wake up in humanity right now, and that's why it's such a beautiful time to be alive.
They're finding out it's like Bad Santa times 10. You know, I mean, some of those things are kind of funny, but they're more realistic. You know, some of those shows are coming out with the Santa. You know, they're much more realistic. You know, I don't know. These whole things, I've been watching all of this unfold lately, and it's just blowing my mind, you know, watching the things that on mainstream news, you're going, wow, I never thought I would see that, you know, not on mainstream news, and it's
multiple
coming out
times.
Now.
Multiple times. It's not just once or twice. Like, I've seen things about 8 or 9 different times, different stories, completely different stories, covering some, what, you know, 3 years ago they would have called tinfoil hat conspiracy theory. And it's coming out as truth now. And it's really a very interesting time to be alive, because as a, you know, quote, conspiracy theorist, we no longer have to, you know, point to things that, you know, allude to stuff. Or, you know, it's like, well, we know it's happening. Here's the eyewitness testimony. And before, people would say, well, it's not been investigated. This hasn't been, you know, there's no grand jury. Nobody has gone in on this. And now we have so many points of evidence that we can look at and say, well, here you go, from anti-gravity all the way to, you know, Epstein.
Yeah, I thought I thought, well, you know, it's, you know, that meme thing that's going on, it's so funny, you know, and they'll be on a totally, where you've seen that, they're on a totally different subject. And by the way, and right at the end of their thing, they go, by the way, Epstein was murdered, you know?
Yep. And, oh, yeah, and they're and really clever, too, because it's always, like, such, like, useful information that they have in front of it, and I always end up reading them, and then they get me every time, and it's really, you know, it's not funny, the whole situation, but the memes are funny. Yeah, like, they're bringing a lot of awareness, and it's really amazing what's happening. You know, you can see, even with artificial intelligence that forces the algorithms to shut down so that you don't have this type of information circulating and spreading, which, you know, due to my mm-hmm. Google insiders, I know is an actual thing, like he developed it. And as mm-hmm. you start to look at these types of things and you still see this stuff spreading like wildfire, humankind is rebelling in the most of right now. And it's just not televised. It's just not mainstream. And so it doesn't seem like it, but it truly is.
Oh yeah, it's all, if you're looking for it, you can't miss it. It's all over the net. And I've been trying to tell people, you know, they have all these belief systems, and I said, well, where did you get that? And they go, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, you have this belief system, but where did you get your information to form that belief system? And they start making all these statements and go, well, where did you get that? You know, and they always go back to, it's either like CNN, ABC, or NBC, or something like that, and it's usually a person quoting another person that her. It's like the telephone game and everything else. And I always ask them, do you have any firsthand knowledge of this? Do you know any of these people personally? Do you have any firsthand knowledge? And they always say no. And I said, then you don't know. They go, no, everybody knows. And I said that no, everybody is socially engineered. And so are you, and you got to own that. You know, I said, you got to own that. You got to realize where you got your foundation for your belief system. And it wasn't through personal experience. It was through watching that boob tube tell you how to think and who's the bad guy and who's the good guy. And it's always opposite of what they're saying, you know?
Yeah. And it's actually really funny because if you pay attention to it and then you just turn it into opposite world, like you're listening to the exact opposite of what's supposed to be truth. It's almost like you have a perfect alignment radar to show you exactly what's going on. And it's very, very inverse right now. It's completely and totally topsy-turvy and upside down on its head. And the thing is, like, I always tell even my students, you know, it's like, hey, don't listen to anything I'm saying and believe it is truth. I've experimented a lot with these realms. I know, you know, if we do this energetic movement, this thing usually happens here. But don't believe me. Try it out for yourself. All of this information that I teach you guys, it's not something that you can just sit there and say, okay, well, then that's true. Because if you're doing that, then you're trusting me. And I really appreciate that. But, you know, I'm human, too. I'm fallible. I'm culpable, and I make mistakes as well, just like everybody else. And if we go in and we investigate and we truly go in and find out for ourselves whether or not something is true, not only do we then gain trust or respect for somebody because it is true, or we recognize we got to, you know, pay attention to what this other person or this group is saying because it's not true, but we understand the situation, we understand the topic, we understand the subject on such a deeper level that we can then create our own opinion around it. And when you can create your own opinion around truth, something that other people can investigate and find as truth for themselves, that's where we need to be. That's the only thing that matters right now. And a lot of the stuff that's happening is nothing more than regurgitation of some talking head who doesn't know what they're talking about, and they're just reading from a script. And this is where the discernment is coming. Same one.
I know,
they
all have the same... Yeah, they have the same script. It's amazing when you watch somebody, they make collages of all the talking heads, you know, saying the exact same thing. And it's just a huge mind control program. And I always tell people, like you're saying, I said, what you do is you reverse it and multiply it times 3 to 10, and then you'll have the truth. Because whatever they're accusing others of, they are doing 10 times over. And then you'll have a more accurate description of what's going on. And then I also tell people, You've got to develop your own inner sensitivity. You know, I call it your BS meter. And you can just look at somebody or listen to somebody, and you know, when they're faking it, they're feigning outrage and all this stuff they're doing. You can feel their agenda. You can feel their soul, their spirit, you know, what they're all about. And you just won't even listen anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's exactly what it is, because they're talking. And the talking is where the program is, because our souls, they don't communicate with words. Our souls communicate in intense bursts of information, of energy, of visualization, of intention. And these packets, it could be like a PhD thesis worth of information that gets transmitted in about a half a second. And then you have to spend 10 years trying to figure out how to write it into English. And like, this is where we have to start coming from. And we have to start using that as our instinctive gut reaction instead of responding to the words. Because if we pay attention to the reaction that we get from a specific energy, and that's anything anybody is ever talking about, that is an energy. It's a concept that they are trying to convey to you. And if you pay attention to, you know, there might be a slight clenching in your gut. You might have a little bit of nausea. There might be, you know, a little chill up the spine. There might be a sensation of moving away, like you just kind of got pushed backwards a little bit. You know, those are the body language levels that if you just start paying attention on that level and stop listening to the words inside of the story, which traps that vastness of human emotion and of human consciousness, and then you just pay attention to the feeling, that's that sense of self right there. And from that right there, you just have to experiment. And, you know, you might mess up a couple times. We all do. But that's how we figure out how not to mess up again. And that's what we have to do, is start trusting ourselves.
Well, I heard one of the masters, I love what he said. He said, God is a feeling. You know, you feel God. You feel the higher consciousness energy. You can feel it in your body. You can feel it in your soul. And we've gotten away from that. We've gotten away from the ability to use our heart and our feeling nature to sense, you know, the frequencies of what's going on. And like you're saying, you know, we miss the big picture. But, you know, even your eyes are picking up billions of bits of information, even multiple dimensions, but your brain is choosing out of that what's going to be your reality. So we're actually missing that as well, because we haven't expanded our consciousness to take in, you know, the totality of what our eyes are seeing. You know, so I guess it works on every level.
Well, you know, as above, so below, it's always that way. If you learn it on one level, then it always has an inverse or a multiplication exponent of itself. You know, it either goes in on itself and has a different face, or it goes out on itself and has a different face, but it's all the same core. And that's why if we just figure out ourselves, if we know ourselves, we can literally learn how to work inside of the universe at large on a very deep, omnidimensional understanding, where it's not just right here and now, it's transcended through all of there, then, here, now, up, down, left, right, wherever it might be, because that's how we're supposed to be experienced, outside of time and outside of space.
Exactly. I would say, know yourself, you'll know everybody, you know, and you'll know God as well, you know, but everything's, unfortunately, the big trap is everything's external. And it's a game. It's a very bad joke they played on us for quite a long time. It's like your love, your joy, your acceptance, your approval. Everything is external. You know, you got to drink the right beer, drive the fancy cars, live in the right house. You know, you got to have the right furniture, all this stuff. You know, and then you'll be happy. You know, and I go, well, why can't you just be happy? You know, just you know, that's just it's your natural state. That's who you are. Why are you buying in? Do you have to do all these things? You know, you don't have to do all this. You just be happy for no reason. You don't need another person.
Especially when we start looking at how the atomic structure around us is 99.999% empty, and none of it goes with us when we cross over. Like then material possessions, like, yes, it's nice to have things that make your life more comfortable, but as long as you have food, water, and shelter, you can live joyous. You can live free. You can live completely and totally connected in with the earth on the level that humankind is supposed to be connected in. And we don't need all that extra stuff. All that stuff does nothing more but just disconnect us. And when we're dying, when we're on our deathbed, that stuff is not what we're looking for. We're trying to find those connections. We're trying to tell our loved ones how much we love them and how much we want to be there with them and how much we appreciate them. And that's what we're looking for. And it's those types of things that we need to start paying attention to, because that's how we cultivate the soul. Because this isn't a journey of cultivating the body. It's all soul cultivation.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's kind of, I had something interesting happen to me. I had this guy I worked with for 7 years, and I can't mention his name because we'll just leave it at that. But anyway, for free, you know, because I knew what he had. I knew the healing technologies he had and everything else. And I was just there as a, you know, I really saw what was, and he also healed me. I was like on death's bed when I found the guy. And it's weird how we met. But anyway, you know, he comes driving up and he has this brand new car and he gives it to me. It's a really nice car, too. And, you know, it's got all the bells and whistles that thinks for it. It's smarter than I am, actually. But it was just out of the blue, you know, and I've never had that happen before. And I've always had just really practical cars. You know, I get, because they have the ranch here and you need a truck and you need, you know, cars that can get through the snow in the winter and things like that. And all of a sudden, I'm in this car and it's almost like I feel so weird in the car and driving the car, and I'm going, whoa, this is like, and I don't want to identify with the car, and I don't want to get attached to it, because if something happens, then I'm going to freak out. And it's just like, it's kind of a learning experience, because I've always been very, you know, just practicing loving detachment, doing my thing. And so I have to enjoy, I have to learn to enjoy nice things without attachment, without it's just a whole different level. But it, you know, at the same time, it's kind of weird. I'm going, geez, man, I got to figure this thing out, because it's a whole different paradigm now. It's almost like somebody giving you a beam ship, you know, and now you can go anywhere and do anything. And, you know, and the thing's smarter than you are, you know, almost. But the thing drives itself, you know. It's like, it's pretty crazy. But anyway, you know, just going from one paradigm where I was just, you know, cruising and getting by with what's practical to this next level is quite a shift. And I've been thinking about that, and I go, God, this is like a paradigm here. Even our bodies are going through these big transmutations, and we're realizing that, you know, they're not just this meat suit, you know, they're multidimensional, and we can go anywhere in the universe just through the thought and all these other things. And it's just like, it's very similar. I was kind of putting them all together going, God, I get it now. Now I'm totally more unlimited. You know, I have a vehicle I can trust. It's not going to break down. I can take longer trips in it. I can do more lectures and, you know, I have the vehicle to do them, to travel around in. I can connect with more people and research more technologies. And I was just looking at the whole thing, the big picture, and how the, you know, the macrocosm and the microcosm, they're both connected. And so I had this friend here. He's going, you're becoming way too material. You're becoming this. He's just freaking out. He's going through all this stuff. You know, and I was looking at that, and I looked at him, I go, I deserve a nice vehicle. What are you talking about? You know, I can get around. I can help more people. I can do more lectures. I can, you know, meet with these other people, you know, and everything else. And I said, why not, you know, have it be, you know, comfortable? Why not have something you can trust? You know, like this. It was really funny. It just pushed all his buttons. And I said, I got enough buttons to deal with of my own. You don't have to be throwing your buttons in there too, as well, you know. But it's funny, because I was down there driving, this friend of mine had a Porsche, and there's all those jokes about, you know, what the difference between a porcupine and a Porsche. You probably heard those, but we won't go there. but anyway, yeah. So anyway, I'm down there in Santa Barbara, and I'm driving in this Porsche, and all these people are looking at you, you know, and they're trying to look at you, and some are going, whoa, nice car, you know, and some are going, "You asshole." You know, I guess we could say it on the air. You know, they're looking at you in disgust, or they're looking at you like, "Oh, I want to meet that guy. He's got a nice car. He's got a," you know what I mean? That, and you pick up the whole vibe from that. And I was thinking about that. I go, I feel really weird. There's way too much attention on this car, and I feel the attention on it, you know, and I could give my old Chevy van, you know, I'm good with that. You know, like nobody sees it. Nobody cares. And I like the less attention, you know, the less attention, because you feel it and you feel all the different mindsets on that, you know, but it'd be great if people would, you know, and not even knowing the story, you know, people don't even know who I am, and they attach all this stuff to that and then throw it at them psychically, you know, and you go, whoa, wait a minute, you know, and then all of a sudden you find yourself starting to defend yourself, and you go, wait a second, I don't have to defend myself, you know, that's their story, you know, that's their projection, that's their story. It's just weird watching all the dynamics of that, and you know, living up on a ranch out in the middle of nowhere here, out in the wilderness, basically, you know, you get used to just being in nature, and all these other dynamics are not part of that program.
Yeah. Well, and it's really funny, too, because I used to be really the same way, too. Everything was very practical. It was, you know, it didn't have to look nice. It just had to work correctly. And as I've gotten to... It's really funny. I've got some clients who they're really well off, and money's not really an issue for them. And what they enjoy doing is providing for people. They really get a very powerful sense of fulfillment, of having that gratitude from other people by being able to provide for them for something that doesn't mean anything to them, but it means a lot to other people. And I've had to really, really get over a lot of poverty programs because of these people, because they, you know, it makes them feel good in order to give me stuff or to, you know, provide for my family. And these types of things, like I always used to, you know, I did my own way. I always had my own job. I always paid my own bills. And suddenly I'm in a space right here where for what I want to do in the world, I need a lot more than I have right now. And, you know, I'm definitely comfortable where I'm at, but I need hundreds of millions, if not maybe billions of dollars to complete my vision to create all these organic communities that bring people back to the land and pretty much create, you know, starseed ascension factories. And these types of things right here, once they're up and running, money's not going to be an issue because, you know, we technically could not really even need it at that point in time. But in order for me to start something like this, I have to get over a whole bunch of those really weird feelings that you were talking about, sitting inside of that really nice car when before, you know, you were clunking along in your Chevy van, comfortable, you know, nobody could see you. Yeah. You weren't out in the open. And I've ran into that quite a bit, actually. And it's really funny because I was going to a wedding one time, and normally I don't dress up. Like, I dress up for conferences and stuff like that when I'm doing presentations. But for the most part, I'm in, like, workout pants and a T-shirt and, you know, a sweatshirt most of the time. And there's a huge difference between when you're dressed up in a three-piece suit that, you know, it's very snappy, it's very sharp. It gives you a sense of command or a sense of presence that suddenly people attach a lot different of a person to that outfit. And it's almost like, well, am I even worthy of people thinking me of like this? Am I good enough for people to look at me this way? You know, and it was a huge amount of really stretching back and forth inside of myself to get to the point to, you know, just like you said, I deserve nice things. I really truly do. I don't deserve to have things that break. I deserve to have things that they don't need to be gaudy, they don't need to be ostentatious, but they need to be well crafted and well made so I don't ever have to buy it again. And you know, that serves me because then I don't have to spend my time taking care of something that's not working correctly, and I can, you know, produce content, I can have my epiphanies, I can do my work on my end that helps other people out who come and learn from me. And it's really gotten to the point to where I really, truly believe that each and every one of us, we deserve the universe because we are direct aspects of source creation. And the only thing that's getting in the way from us and universal abundance is the fact that we think that we're not worthy of it. And that's what I've been really working on and cleaning out inside of myself. And it's been amazing, because the more I clean out, the more things open up. And the universe, it responds so quickly once you start really stepping on this path of saying, you know what, these things inside of me that I feel that are uncomfortable, that I don't enjoy, I'm not going to sit here and just let them run their program. I'm going to go into it and I'm going to hold space inside of that uncomfortability until it hurts so much that I realize I don't like it in me. And then I can get rid of it. You know?
I'm good with the monk robes and the sweatpants. I'm totally down with that. And I thought about, I had to go on this UFO cruise. I was one of the speakers on it, and you had to wear a suit and tie, you know, to the captain's table or whatever you call it. I don't know. For this. Yeah. Oh God. I was so out of my place. I felt so awkward. And I go, you know, this just isn't me. It's not me. And I realized that. I go, yeah, I'm really fine. I'm really fine with not being a part of this, you know. And I couldn't wait to get out of there and just get that off of me and you know, go back to something comfortable and especially a tie, you know, that's insane. That's like trying to put a noose around your neck. But
yeah, that gets me more than anything. It's such a claustrophobic sensation.
Yeah, I know. I've been hung in a past life, so I can't do that one at all. I can't wear the tie. But it was interesting. And I said, you know, it just, oh man, I just, it just doesn't work for me. I'm just not comfortable at all in that situation. And I'm really fine with that. I'm really fine with that. I mean, I'd rather have my hands in the dirt, digging ditches and gardening and doing, you know, carpentry and building, creating things here. That's what brings me joy. That other world is just not for me. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing or a good thing or anything. It's just not, you know, I just don't fit there. You know, it doesn't fit for me.
Yeah. And see, this is where I'm trying to really figure out the root language. That way, the more that you know yourself, you can take yourself into any space. And even if you feel uncomfortable there, you can still rock it, you know. And like that is what I'm trying to figure out, because I have come so far in my short journey to where I'm at right now. Like I started off like terrified of speaking to more than like three people, you know, I'd start talking like a goat, you know, and I was very shy and I was withdrawn on myself. And I just realized I didn't like feeling like that. And the more that you go into those spaces, like I enjoy those uncomfortable spaces where I realize, like, you know what? I'm actually kind of tight right now. I'm clenching. Like, I don't want to be here. Because those spaces right there, that's when I'm triggered. And when I'm triggered, that means that I then have a density inside of me that I can go and find. And it's not the easiest thing in the world, but it really opens up doorways to, instead of being, you know, just stuck inside of, like, a very uncomfortable space, it allows you to connect with people on the level where they're comfortable being. And that's what I'm really trying to do more than anything, is just be like an ambassador to, you know, go and be able to hang out with the stinky hippies who are meditating for, you know, 10 days in a row. And then go into the corporate events where I do have to wear the suit and tie and be able to transition in between the two with light, with grace. And I feel like that's definitely where my calling is right here. And it's not an easy thing, honestly. And I could easily see why you don't want anything to do with it.
No, it's just really weird. I mean, what do you say? I know you have to learn to relate to everybody on, you know, and I used to be that. I mean, I used to be in commercial real estate. I had my own office. I had people working for me.
It's been a while ago, you know, you've sunk into the earth. Like that's who you are now.
Yeah. That was another lifetime ago. And then I had the drowning and, you know, the big shift after that. But anyway, I understand that world, but I can't relate to it. I understand it. Yeah. I understand that whole materiality thing. And I understand what's going on there and the program and everything else, but I can no longer relate to it. It's just I more relate to nature than anything else now, and children and animals, you know.
You live on E SETI. I mean, that's enough said. Like Like you have a space right there that has not only a deep connection to nature, like all you have to do is look out at the mountain at nighttime and there's magic right there. Every time that you feel it starting to drain out, you can go and see it right there in front of you. And I don't blame you. I would want to stay in that too. Like that's, we need people like you, you know, thank you so much for building that space and creating what you have. And it allows people like me to go out and find people to bring to places like this because now they're set up and they're available. Thank you, James.
Yeah, I tell people that, you know, this is a place where the angels with broken wings come to mend, you know, it's like, you know, to recharge. And, you know, it's funny because I'm going up to the Star Knowledge Conference in Colorado this next week. They have the big 11-11 event up there. And I've got a lot of friends up there and a lot of elders that I'll be, you know, looking forward to be connecting with. But the, you know, they used to come here and stay. They'd stay for like a month at a time almost sometimes. And we do all kinds of sweat lodges and purification ceremonies and fire circles. It was amazing. Had a great time. And they would come here and they'd recharge. And then they'd go back out and do their work, you know. But I should write stories about that one. I think I am going to write another book about all the crazy, the different people that come up here. And, yeah, we get some amazing people come up here, and then we have some people come up that just cannot handle the energy at all. And it's sad, you know, but they
yeah,
just,
it brings the program right up to the surface, huh?
Yeah, they go right into blame and projection and there's no personal responsibility involved. And so, you know, you have to set boundaries finally and just say, okay, you know, you've had every opportunity to heal and take a look at this, and you, this might not be everybody else. You might have something to do with this, you know?
Yeah.
And, every year we have to let a few people go, you know, but that's,
well,
just,
it's
hard.
It's a really high vibratory place. And if people are not actively going in and cleansing those dark spaces and the feelings inside of them that they don't enjoy, it brings everything up to the surface. You can't stay inside of a place like that with darkness and heaviness inside of you because it's constantly lifting up and opening, and anything heavy and stuck is not going to be in that environment, and it's going to get really uncomfortable until it leaves, no matter how it leaves, whether the person releases or they have to go.
The bottom line is personal responsibility, and people start feeling something wrong, something off, and they might start getting angry or whatever, and they don't realize it's all happening within themselves, and then they try to find a place to put it, or, you know, something to blame it on or whatever. And then once they get into that mode, the other entities come in. they you know, amplify it and create even more division and more. And then some actually will start drinking or smoking or something like that. They start opening themselves up, you know, to these other energies. And it's like and people go, why do you have a no drug policy? And I just said, well, you know, because we've seen it over and over where people start drinking or they start, you know, getting stoned a lot or whatever else. And I know everything has its place, but I said, here you can't afford, we don't have the luxury of doing that. And especially drinking, you know, that just opens the door wide open. And other drugs too is if they're not done in a sacred way and things like that, they just open doors for other things to come in. But yeah, it gets, we've watched that process unfold here several times, and so we have these safeguards, and some people get really mad at us for doing that, and I said, no, you know, these safeguards are in place for a reason, and we've tried to be lenient on them, and it's never worked, and so, you know, we have an alcohol and drug-free zone here, period, end of story, and personal responsibility zone. You own your shit when you come here, you know, and we're there to help you do it. We're there to help you get clear if that's where you want to go, but we're not going to enable it or allow it to, you know, create all the separation division game going on.
Thank you so much for building that space there. It's really, it's a really bright point of light that has, there's webs that are coming out through the entire planet that are connected into this space because of what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's really lifting the whole entire light grid of the entire collective consciousness. Like, you guys are doing amazing stuff over there. Thank you so much, James.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad you could recognize that. Most people don't get it, but the mountain itself, I mean, we've actually filmed with a certain type of technology. The mountain is just pumping energy out, and you can see these incredible bands of purple, blue, pink, you know, magenta energies coming off of that mountain. And we remote viewed it. We know what's happening in there. It's affecting the whole planet. And I know this is one of quite a few places on the planet that are being activated right now. But the researchers I had here that have actually documented that said that there's more energy coming off of Mount Adams than the pyramids.
Wow. I believe it. Like, every time I tune into that place, it feels like a it's almost like a spire. Like, if you're looking at the flat plane of the dense Earth and things that are rising up in vibration that are starting to really lift up into the higher, more open realms, they drag everything up with them. It's like a reverse gravity well. Like, if you had a big piece of latex that you put a big, heavy ball in the middle, it would drag down.
Yeah.
And if you tried to, you know, roll the ball around it, you could see how the gravity would work. It's like the exact opposite level of that. And I definitely see other mountains that are connected into this grid right here, but you guys are creating a space that it's designed specifically for the activation of the mountain and holding space and using this, and I don't feel any other place like that. There's a space in Japan near Mount Fuji that I feel that's very similar to what you guys have going on, and there's two or three that I feel in Africa, and I don't know the names of those mountains, but I can see them. And that's literally it. I don't feel anything in South America. There's absolutely nothing in Europe, nothing in Russia. And what you guys are doing is holding space and allowing this, instead of the energy to disperse and get sucked into the ley lines, because it's almost like the Earth is parched. It's dehydrated. And as the energy gets formed here, it can get pulled out very easily. And what you guys are doing is, by your consciousness existing in that space, is you're allowing it to pool, you're allowing it to form and then compound on itself, and then instead of just getting sucked into the Earth, it's shining like a sun, and it's turning on a lot of stuff. Like, it's really amazing what you guys are doing. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, major activator. You know, even the government knows about this, because there's purple. They call us the purple zone. We're in the purple zone. We're in the middle of this major magnetic anomaly where the veils between worlds are very thin, and they call them purple zones, and we're definitely in that. In that zone. And you know, it is an incredible thing here. You know, it's you know, it can either like lift you up and expand your consciousness and show you multidimensional realms all around you, you know, or some people it can the double-edged sword, you know, it can just bring all your stuff up, and if you're not ready to go through it.
Well, and it's all about the inner choice and whether people are ready to let go of that stuff or not. Sometimes, you know, the dysfunction defines people and they don't know who they are without it, so they cling to it.
Yeah.
And that just means they're not ready. And that's, you know, it doesn't make us better or better than them or them better than us. It just means that they're on a journey.
Yeah, there was a woman once that came up here, and you could see it in her face. I mean, she was very, very agitated, and she drove up the driveway, stopped, looked at us, and then did a total burnout. It was like just floored it, spun all the way around through gravel everywhere, and took off and left. And I was just smiling at her, you know. And I go, well, I guess the energy wasn't for her, you know. It was kind of interesting. And I didn't take it personal, but I thought it was kind of hilarious. But you know, those things happen, and it's pretty much on a regular basis. We're hitting the edge of the end of the hour here, unfortunately. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Definitely. So either Eric Raines on Facebook, ericraines, or unleashingnaturalhumanity.com, Unleashing Natural Humanity on YouTube, Facebook, and Patreon, as well as LinkedIn.
Great. Awesome. Hey, well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and keep up the great work, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you so much for having me, James. I absolutely love what you guys are doing. I'm glad you guys are actually here on the planet with us, too.
All right. All right, this is James Dillon signing off with As You Wish Talk Radio, also on eCity Stargate. And big things happening. All the people are being lined up. The technologies are coming together, the healing technologies, the fieldless energy. Everything is all coming together right now. And we all have to do what's highest and best good for the planet and ourselves and our family and our extended family to get through these times and forget about the division game and all the other nonsense, because you've got to transcend all cultural and all religious programs and even political programs to get through these times. So anyway, go within, make your own personal connection with Source, focus on that love and joy and bliss within you, and send it out to others. Have a great evening. Good night.